Our scripture this evening comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Let us hear these words as they may rest upon our hearts, renew our spirits, and strengthen our will. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarded its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. Today is a very special day, a wondrous day in the life of our church. It's one of my most favorite days in the church calendar when we celebrate All Saints Day and we reflect and we remember and we give thanks for those who have died, who were faithful to Christ, strong witnesses for his kingdom, and who loved selflessly. Many of us will be thinking of saints who have died in the past year. Maybe some of us will be thinking of saints who died several years ago. And maybe even some of us will be reflecting upon those saints who lived centuries ago, years gone by, but no less have given aid and strength to us. For this is a day we honor them, their witness, their sacrifice, their lives, and paying tribute to Jesus Christ. All Saints' Day is special to us, because we are here today to give thanks. You know, it's always special to be remembering people. And today, as we gather, we look back when All Saints' Day came about. Several centuries ago, Halloween was associated with the Christian tradition. And Halloween was known as that day when the spirits would come and settle upon the earth and be mischievous. But when November 1st came, the Christians were thankful because they had the saints there to help guide them, to shed light on their path. And they would shed light for the paths of those Christians from Halloween and All Saints' Day till Christmas, when once again we reflect upon the light of the world, Jesus Christ, being a part of us all. And if we reflect upon how many centuries ago, how dark it must have been. It's not like today where, of course, there's electricity and technology. When it was dark back then, it was dark. The light pollution was very minimal. And as little children teach us, often the first fears we have are of it being dark. Because we can't see what's around us. We can't see what is in that dark. And it frightens us. I remember several years ago, I went on a mission trip to Chincha, Peru. I don't know if you remember, but several years ago, there was an earthquake that had struck in Peru and devastated many communities. And in Chincha, this was about 50 miles from that earthquake, but it had still given much impact to the villagers there. And so we spoke with the villagers about that experience with them, and they told us that it had happened at night. And obviously they couldn't see because you have to have money to buy candles. And they told us how it felt like and heard like there was thunder in the ground. Now imagine, you're in pitch black dark and the earth is shaking. There's a lot of fright there. All these things and talking about things getting too dark. And if we think about horror movies, most of the trouble happens at nighttime or when someone creeps down the stairs to the basement and the lights are off. We're taught that we should be afraid of the dark. But with Christ, our light, who reflects the light of the saints, our path is lit for us. The saints act as lights for our path to walk because we remember that the saints are like us. They are human. A lot of times what we will do is we will put these saints and label them as heroes of the faith. We will put them on pedestals. And I think we should stop that. I think we should stop because what we do is we distance ourselves as far as we can from those people because we secretly tell ourselves, I could never be like he was. I could never act like she did. And then we begin to not see the evidence that Christ is what worked in the lives of those people. It was the grace of God that worked within their lives and made them to be such gracious people. But we can't forget that they're like us. They went through their own sins and trials and temptations. They went through their own period of walking near the valley of the shadow of death. Question we should ask ourselves is, who are the saints you're remembering today? Are they friends or family who have passed away? Maybe you're thinking of St. Francis of Assisi, who got rid of all of his wealth and decided to live with the poor and serve all he could. Maybe you're thinking of Mother Teresa, who accepted the call of God and went to the slums of Calcutta and was there to serve and help the diseased and the dying. For me today, I've been thinking about this the last few days of who I would reflect on. And a friend of mine who passed away in 2012 and a mentor of mine, I'm thinking of John Guthrie. John Guthrie was an elder in the United Methodist Church, and in the 1960s, he served as a missionary over in the Congo when the Congo was just filled with war and violence. And he would reflect the impact that this made on him with how frightened different experiences he would have, but how grateful he was to be there to help so many people in such a difficult situation like the Congo was. And then in 1969 and until 1996, he served as chaplain of Hendricks College. That's a long time. But in knowing John, he's always able to be relative to people. And I know that he helped so many students, and he was such a light to people who are figuring out their own faith as they're walking through new experiences in life and in new situations. I met John when I was a student myself at Hendricks. And I remember there'd be different occasions where I'd go to breakfast in the cafeteria and John would be there having breakfast. And we'd sit together and he would always have a kind word, always a word of encouragement. If there was a time of frustration, he would add humor. He was one of those people that would show you the face of Christ and showed the face of Christ to so many people. So the question to ask yourselves, of course, is who is the face of Christ for you today? Who are those people you're thinking of that have motivated you, who you think of when you need a little extra help? You know, I think about our passage this morning from Hebrews and how it talks about we are running a race. A lot of times we'll look at this passage and we'll think of it in terms of just me and God. And while that's a fair reading, I want to offer another reading that we allow the first verse, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, to enter our dialogue with this text. You see, I don't think it's just me running a race with God. I think it's the body of Christ running the race together. A large, struggled, and hard road and race to run. A great marathon. It's one of the mysteries of the faith, the body of Christ, that we can feel so close to people who lived the Christian life centuries ago and how the church propelled them forward by talking about them and not letting their witness die. And that's what we do here today. We celebrate those lives and we make sure that we remember them so that they can always journey with us. Because, see, they've been aiding us, and now they have handed the baton of the gospel that we race forward and give to the next folks that run this race. We all do this together, and we can't do it alone. We must embrace God. And we must, when we run that race with the body of Christ, look for those lights that are ahead of us, guiding our footsteps through the valley of the shadow of death that may come, through the doubts and the questions and frustrations, and in the high lives of our Christian life. And finally, reflect on you as a saint. Who will you be a saint to? There are three types of Christians when they die, I've come to find out. There's the Christian that is a saint, a witness for Christ, has done everything they could to advance the gospel. Then there's the Christian that was, well, actually can't say much because they didn't do much. And then there's a Christian and a fear of mine of becoming that person where when others see them, they decide, well, I don't want to be a Christian if that's what it's about. We are called to live our lives in a manner worthy of the gospel. To cling to that grace. So I say, who will you be a saint to? Who will look up to you? How will you reflect Christ's light in this dark world? Always trusting God that light can shine through any darkness and overcome the problems of this world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.